Welcome to hour number two, The Straight Shooter with Stephen A. coming at you every Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. Before I get to my next guest, I want to explain to you what's essentially going on. My next guest, who will be on in a minute, is a new representative-elect out of Arizona, the 7th congressional district in Arizona. And she has yet to be sworn in by Speaker Mike Johnson, who has refused to do so while the government is shut down and not in session. Nevertheless, there's been a big brouhaha over that. And before I go to my next guest, I want you to hear Speaker Mike Johnson and the explanation he's provided as to why he has not sworn her in as of yet. Take a listen.
First of all, I'm following the Pelosi precedent. I was on some of the Sunday shows and was asked about this because this is all they have to talk about right now. When Julia Letlow was elected under very similar circumstances to fill the seat of her her deceased husband, who passed away tragically by COVID, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi at the time, took 25 days to administer the oath of office to her. It wasn't just Julia. The Pelosi precedent extends even further because when Pat Ryan and Joe Cipollinski were elected during an August recess, they waited 21 days to administer the oath to those to rep-elects because they were not in session. We are not in legislative session.
There you have it. That's his position, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. My next guest won a special election, as I told you, to represent Arizona's Democratic 7th Congressional District last month, but is yet to be sworn in. Please welcome to the show U.S. Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva. Good evening. How are you? How's everything?
It's okay. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's an honor to have you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. Now, the Arizona Attorney General has sued the U.S. House of Representatives over Speaker Mike Johnson's refusal to seat you. Why do you think he won't swear you in?
I believe that it's because I'm going to be the 218th signer to the discharge petitions to release the Epstein files. Because there doesn't seem to be any other correlation to delaying me other than the previous three members that he swore in under 24 hours from the date of their special election were Caucasian males. That's the only other issue. This Chicana from Arizona, they keep changing the rules. They keep changing the criteria. You know, first it was, I wasn't certified. My race wasn't certified. The previous three were not certified either. Then it was, we're in a shutdown. Well, there was a whole freshman class sworn in not in a shutdown. And it's this excuse, I think, that is being told about, you know, it's just excuse after excuse. It's like, well, we don't swear in on a pro forma session, but yet you swore in two Republicans on April 2nd in a pro forma session. So every excuse that he gives is just that, an excuse. And I think that, you know, he also ended votes early in order to avoid a vote on the Epstein files and sent everyone home a week early. So there is definitely a pattern of doing everything possible to avoid these getting out. And I think Arizona is collateral damage in this, you know, obstruction.
How would you respond to Speaker Johnson's assertion that he's just following the Pelosi precedent where she took over 20 days or so to swear in reps Julia Letlow and Pat Ryan?
I think he's just coming up with excuses to try to justify why it's okay to keep someone out of office for now 29 days. It isn't. And this speaker swore in three people in under 24 hours from the date of their election. So let's just focus on that. And the others, you know, he's throwing in Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan's like, hey, don't include me in, you know, as justification for you protecting pedophiles.
Won the seat formerly held by your late father, Raul Grijalva, who passed away in March, right? You know, God bless you and your family. Sorry for your loss. Let me ask you, what will be your top priority from day one once you're sworn in?
You know, I need to sign that discharge petition and then need to get to work in co-sponsoring legislation that is affecting all of the nation, but really Arizonans. One of them would be several discharge petitions that are out there, including rolling back these emergency executive powers that Trump has and, you know, unilaterally just destroying every white right we have in this nation. The other is there's several pieces of legislation, including protecting our environment, environmental justice for all, rebuilding our Department of Education, the Department of Labor. I mean, there's so many protections that our communities don't have anymore because this administration doesn't think they're important, even though they affect the 99% of us.
Representative-elect, what would your dad say? What would he want from you right now, the minute you were sworn in? It's one thing to ask you what you're going to do. What would he want you to do?
You know, our values are very similar. I mean, obviously, I am very proud to be Raul Grijalva's daughter. And so, you know, I grew up in a household that was all about service and sticking up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And so that's what I have done, tried to do my whole life. And I have heard nothing but rave reviews about the kind of member of Congress that my dad was while he was here. So he set the bar incredibly high. And, you know, he just want me to do my best.
You know, when I think of going back to the whole Epstein file thing, the only issue I have with that is that, you know what, the Epstein files existed when Biden was in office and the Democrats didn't make much noise about it then. So I'm hard pressed to believe. I find myself saying to myself, if they had something on Trump, don't you think they would have let it out then before the election? I mean, how do you answer that to a person just purviewing the landscape, looking at things right now and saying, is it really about the Epstein files when they had this available to them when they were in power and they knew Trump was trying to regain power?
Well, but this was not an issue for Democrats. We're not the ones that made it a cornerstone of our campaign. Trump did. Trump said on day one, I'm going to release those files. Then he got into office and I think got a good look at what was in those files and thought better of it. If he's not implicated, then somebody, big supporters, are implicated. I mean, Epstein ran in circles of the pretty elite. So there must be some direction coming from somewhere to do everything that they can to keep these files a secret. And for me, what's more important is to give justice to the survivors of that were victimized by the people that are implicated. And that's really giving voice to them and getting justice for anyone who is implicated in those files. I don't care who it is.
Let me transition to another issue. Right now, 812,000 Arizonans do not have representation in Congress because you haven't been sworn in. How has the ongoing shutdown affected your constituents in your mind? And what will you do to address this issue once you're seated?
You know, one of the things, my dad passed away in March. And while Arizona, Southern Arizona, did not have a voice here anymore, constituent services continued in district. So all of the services in Tucson and Summerton, Douglas, Nogales, there was still staff going out and providing services. Those have since ceased since September 23rd. All of the leases were canceled by the House. And I understand that. That seat is closed. Now, I have to reestablish services in districts, and I can't do that without a budget. I can't do that without like going through these ethics trainings to make sure that our staff are fully prepared for everything that comes up, having access to databases. I mean, really, what Speaker Johnson is trying to do is he's insulting me on a pretty regular basis about I shouldn't be doing TikToks and I should be doing other things. Well, respectfully, I wouldn't be on social media talking about this if I were already sworn in. This would not be an issue. So stop watching my videos and swear me in. We won't have a problem here. And I cannot provide the full representation that Southern Arizona deserves until I am sworn in.
Does he have to be the one to swear you in? Can anybody else swear you in?
You know, really, a notary, another member of Congress can swear me in. A federal judge can swear me in. The only issue is that it requires an act of Congress or a letter from the speaker, some sort of designation that this is the person that he or she is designating to do this.
So you can't get an act of Congress. You can't get action on the part of Congress. You can't get a letter from the Speaker of the House. Both have been null and void. That's basically what you're saying.
Basically, yes. And if he doesn't want to issue me the, you know, swear me in, that's totally fine. I'm happy to get sworn in district. I don't need the bells and whistles. I don't need the pomp and circumstance. I just need to get sworn in. Just to give you an example, when I'm coming into this building, I get into the line with the public. to go through security because I don't have a PIN.
Right.
I don't have, I am not a member of Congress. And it is, I am reminded of it every time I'm here in DC. And every time I hear about people going to my dad's old office, trying to get help from Grijalva, because this community, our community, is used to reaching out to Grijalvas for the last 50 years.
So you're in Washington right now.
Yes, sir.
You're in Washington right now. You're online with regular folks, and you know, you don't have access to all the things your dad and now you, as the representative elect succeeding him, should have access to.
Correct. And when you see me come out with other members of the Democratic caucus down the Capitol steps, someone has to come get me from the line at security because I don't have a PIN to get me in.
Your district covers Tucson and a large part of Arizona's southern border with Mexico. How have ICE raids impacted your cities?
You know, the three ports of entry with Mexico and Arizona are in CD7. So we have a large number of Latino community, a large number of mixed status families, immigrant families, families that have been here for generations. And ICE is targeting all of us. If you don't, if they think that you are undocumented, they'll follow you. We've heard of that from the Tohonatam Nation on Pascuayaki tribal land, all throughout our communities. I mean, I was pumping gas with my son, and two people jumped out of a nondescript vehicle wearing civilian clothing, a bulletproof vest, and a mask, and were dragging a woman out of a car. Like, this is happening in real time every day. They're parked outside of our Home Depots. They're parked outside of our schools. What possible crime could an elementary school student have committed to warrant that kind of harassment? That's what's happening every day. And the fear, I mean, you feel it when you're in our community.
Republicans will ask, how do you expect them to address illegal immigration in the United States of America, particularly with the existence of sanctuary cities, and particularly with the existence of many, many legal immigrants who do everything they can to assist illegal immigrants? This is what they would ask. What would your response to that be?
Well, one, that's completely misleading and ridiculous. We have so many hardworking immigrant families that are the backbone of our entire nation. Our nation was built on immigrant labor and people of color and a sacrifice to create this system that we have right now. And we have people that have been following every single rule. They go to every court hearing, which is why ICE is showing up to court hearings, because they know where you live. You've provided the information. You are actually working and paying taxes on a system that you'll never get that money back, but you're trying to establish, I am part of this community. And the problem that we have here is that this idea that immigrant labor is, you know, we're the scapegoats for everything that's going wrong in this nation. If that were the case, then why is our economy going down since we've had so many people deported and not up? Why is the impact from, you hear it from farmers, you hear it from the healthcare community. There are so many communities that have been like dependent on labor. And this idea that, you know, we don't have a pathway to citizenship. Mm-hmm. We don't have a pathway to legalization. There is a woman that is in detention that owns three restaurants in Arizona, employs 70 people, and was detained. How does that make sense when she clearly is not only paying taxes, but is here with permission?
But you are the daughter of a former politician, God rest his soul. You're familiar with how politics are played. So Representative-elect, I'd ask you this question. You know what they're going to say. You know everything gets politicized. Everybody's looking for a political advantage, right? And if the Republicans are saying, okay, focusing on illegal immigration is what got us back into office in 2024, courtesy of Donald Trump, how do you, as a member of the Democratic Party, fend that off? Because the very, very battles that you're fighting right now, the Republicans would make the argument that's the one thing that's working for them, because it looks like American citizens are more supportive, or the Democratic Party rather is more supportive for illegal migrants as opposed to anything else. How do you fend that off to make sure you win an election in the midterms and beyond?
Well, I think that what you're seeing is a lot of people with buyer's remorse. You're seeing a lot of people that have been a part of this country, have been here for 20 years and are being deported. We see veterans being deported. Citizens are being deported and detained. And so this overreach, if you think that this is too much now, wait until ICE has 20 times the budget that they were allocated this year. Trump is setting up his own army that is going to be fighting against us. He's already laid out his plan with sending the National Guard in to attack communities that never asked him for the help. So what this is just scapegoating anybody. And you have to remember that now they're coming for Latinos. Whoever's coming next, better watch out, because really all Trump is doing is targeting anyone that does not support his ideology and does not look like him.
Polarization that exists in Washington is very palpable. My last question to you, because you seem fit for the job, I can tell you that much. You seem ready to fight with the best of them. How do you plan on fending that off? How do you plan on helping in that fight, in that regard? I'm talking about the polarization in Washington, to be exact. How are you going to pull that off?
You know, part of the problem is that if the nation doesn't want us to be this polarized, they have to look at the people that they're electing. And if you have people that are willing to work across the aisle, because that's what you want done, because that ultimately is what is going to be best for the American people, then you need to elect people that are not going to be divisive and split us up between the have and the have-nots, that continue to vote in favor of policies that hurt you in your communities. Who do you think utilizes more Medicaid and Social Security and benefits that are federal government benefits? Those are bright red states, not bright blue. So when these policies go into effect and people start getting their notices, like in Arizona, they're getting them on November 1 when these ACA benefits are gone, the subsidies are gone, and then you start to look at whether you're still going to be able to have any kind of health care. All of a sudden, people are going to be turning and saying, what are you doing as an elected official? And part of the problem is that it is this separation that we're in this position right now because we don't have Republicans that are willing to work with Democrats. Democrats have been here and Republicans have been on vacation since the shutdown, since September 19th. They haven't been in session since then.
So very last question, when do you expect this to be resolved and to be sworn in?
I have no idea. You know, I'm going to be on a show shortly after Speaker Johnson. And so maybe that would be a question that I can ask him when I see him. Because one of the problems right now is that there has been no direct communication with me and Speaker Johnson or his office other than sort of the, you know, snarky comments that he makes to press about me. He doesn't know me, never even attempted to try to schedule a time to get me sworn in, because the goal has always been to obstruct my swearing in from day one.
Representative, Arizona representative-elect Adelita Grijalva, you're live here right here, Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. It's very kind of you. Very nice to meet you. And I wish you nothing but the best. Hope you get sworn in very, very soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. Here we go. 866-967-6887. That's 866-96-POTUS. You heard what she had to say. Phones lines are open. What y'all got to say about all of that? You heard from Governor Pritzker. You heard from Representative-elect Grijalva. You heard what she said. I mean, what excuse is there? Is it really about the Epstein files? Is it really that bad? It sounds like it's a lot more than that, because she got a lot of stuff to say that the Republicans kind of need to answer for. No doubt about that. More to come. Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Don't go away.